All right, very good. Those are just a few ideas. Just trying to get you back thinking. Ian mentions what we can do about it. What I want to do today is to talk about sending out missionaries. Very interesting. As I was talking with someone, and again, this is about 40, 50 years ago, it was a man that had gone through World War II. And he says, it's an interesting statement. He says, after World War II, there were a lot of missionaries who went out. Can you guess why that is? Very good. Other people had traveled to foreign countries and had seen the needs. And so there was this great influx of missionaries from the United States around the world. Now, that generation obviously is passing on. And we do have kind of a need to be thinking about how to get out. Now, one of the things that I find interesting, I find encouraging, is that as we go into some of these other countries, they are starting to get that vision. And I think, I don't know the statistics on it, but I think we are getting close to being surpassed by other countries, such as South Korea, as far as sending them out. Do you have numbers on that?
I don't have statistics on it.
Okay. Correct me if I start making statistical statements that are inaccurate, all right? We incidentally, we do have an expert over here in our class today. He is the missions director of Emmaus Bible School, so he's well familiar with missions. That's enough to intimidate me standing up here talking, okay? Anyway, let's go on. Let's talk about how, we're going to spend the day talking about kind of the practical aspects of how do we send out missionaries. In other words, my object here is to say, all right, we have a lot of assemblies represented, and we want to get information out to the assemblies. And the best way to do that is for you to go home and be thinking missions and what to do with it. Now, if I can have a couple people pass these out, one for everybody. I intended to pass it out yesterday so you can forget to bring them to class this morning. But anyway, we have... Let me have one of those. I have one there someplace. Oh, there it is, hiding under my computer. All right. So this is a booklet that talks about practical ways and what has to go into that operation of sending out missionaries. This is published by Christian Missions in Many Lands, which is at the top. Gives you a nice introduction. And I'm not going to go through this directly. We're going to go through it and hit some of the points that I consider fairly important in sending someone out. And so you can kind of skim over this and hopefully not lose attention span at the same time. So, first let's go to Acts chapter 13. When you are talking about sending missionaries out, this is one of the typical passages that you would go to. And we want to do just a little bit of digging in this to see how we should be sending missionaries out. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord, and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. All right, what is one of the first things we notice about this? Can you guess what we're seeing here that these men are doing? All right, it was the church that sent them out. And the other thing that goes with that, it wasn't just that they were being sent out by the church. They were doing work in the church. Okay, sometimes that's important because we run into people that typically we're thinking young people who, you know, they grow up and they go to school and they get excited about serving the Lord. And so they come home and they say, man, I want to go to the field. Well, let's see the work that you're doing here first. And I think it's very important to do that because to me, and as I've watched my own children, as I watch many other children, as they go to school, we're taking principally the college age group, that's when they start setting in what they believe. In other words, just because you grew up in your assembly and you knew what they were like when they were 10 years old and 12 years old and 15 years old, that doesn't mean that's the same way that they're thinking at 20 years old. So it's good to have them come around the assembly and be doing work. We notice here, there's a list of several men. And it says that they were ministering to the Lord. They were out into the work. And they were into the work in the local assembly. So to me, that is one of the very important points. And with that is the, shall we say, they are able to see what they're doing and see how they operate. Now, what does that lead us to? It was mentioned yesterday, the idea, the need to evaluate the work that they do. Let's go over to Acts chapter 15. Just to give you a little bit of a biblical basis for some of this. Acts 15, verse 36. This is going to be one of those things that you say, oh, is this really the way we want to do this? Acts 15, 36, it says, after some days, and this is after Paul had returned and they decided to go out again. Paul is saying to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with him also, but Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Now, there's a lot of discussion as to whether this was good, bad, otherwise. We're going to avoid that for the moment. But just the idea, the point is, Paul said, all right, I'm going to evaluate this young man, and I don't think that he is fitted for this work. Okay? There's an evaluation of it. If you go over to Timothy, chapter 2, probably one that you have memorized, chapter 2, verse 2, 2 Timothy, what did I say? 2 Timothy 2, 2. And now that it completely escaped my mind, we're going to turn there. Second Timothy 2, 2. Paul's instruction to Timothy, the things which you have heard in me, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. If we're talking about evaluation, what is the key word in this verse? Faithful. Very simple. Somebody had to evaluate. Timothy is told to evaluate. Are these faithful men? So we need to think about who we're sending out. Not just everybody that comes up to an elder and says, oh, I'd like to go to the mission field, would be a good one to send out. All right. Then, back to Acts chapter 13, we want to send them out. We notice this word that they used here, and we often use it amongst our circles. And that is the word commend. Notice there at the end of verse 3. Depends on what version you have. Actually, my version does not have it in there. It says, when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. And I think it's very important as we think about that, that there is a time and a place and an occasion when they purposely sent them out. In other words, they didn't just say, oh, glad to hear that you're going. We'll see you when you get back. They had a time when they laid their hands on him. There's a, what I would refer to as a commending, a commending service for them so that they might, the whole assembly knows what they're doing. The missionaries know what has been done and see that they have a responsibility. In other words, it provides a reference point for responsibility to one another. Now, another thing that I think needs to be done, and that is, let's go to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18 is an interesting one. Paul has been in Ephesus, and he has left right at the end of the chapter. And not only has Paul been there, but he has left, and now Apollos has come in. We don't hear a lot about Apollos, and yet a lot is said in these last few verses about Apollos. Because we see here that, in verse 24, he was mighty in the Scriptures. Verse 25, the man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in spirit. He was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila had heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Let me stop there and just think about that a minute. Here is a man, obviously well-respected, well-taught, but he didn't have all of it. He was teachable. He was teachable. And we sometimes need that, and we need that particularly as we are dealing with those who would go out. But what does he want to do? Verse 27, he wanted to go across to Achaia. Now, if you know your geography at all, he is in Ephesus. That's over here in this, shall we say, this particular place. He's going to go across the sea to Achaia. He is a foreign missionary. Now, that's not a big sea like the Atlantic Ocean, but he is going across the sea. He wants to go over there and take the gospel to someone else. And so it says, the brethren encouraged him. They wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. He was a teacher, following up with some that had already heard the gospel. But there's a couple points I want to make in that. One is the idea that the brethren encouraged him. In other words, there are those who would say, well, you want to be a missionary. That's sure nice to know. We will see you when you get back. There is no encouragement of going out. There's no encouragement of finding out how it's going out there. They just let them go. The other one is that they recommended him to the brethren. I think that's very important. And that's part of this idea of commendation, is a recommendation. And we want to get into it thinking about the commending assemblies. In other words, there is a responsibility by the assemblies, not only to the missionary, but to other gatherings of people. As we look at sending out people, I've had various statements made to me about from different assemblies. Some will say, oh, we don't want to commend any assembly, or we don't want to commend any person out because we had a bad experience. And I think that's wrong. Don't let bad experiences affect what are principles we should follow. And the example I would pull out of that was to be the one over in Acts chapter, I looked it up this morning. I think it's 8. But it is the one where Simeon, you know, the gospel's gone out. Simeon, it says he is believed. He is baptized, and then he comes rushing up and he says, can I buy the Holy Spirit? And Peter says, you don't know anything about it. You are in the depths of your sin. Now, what do we do with that? In our modern day and age, a lot of times we're going to react to that and say, oh, let's have a long period of waiting to see if we should baptize them. Really? The example of New Testament that we can find, Paul is the longest one. It took him 3 days to get baptized. We don't want to rush into it because we're afraid somebody's going to make a mistake. God knows how to take care of mistakes. He's big enough to handle that, okay? So, the same way. Don't just say, well, we had a bad experience. We sent someone out and it failed. So we're not going to ever commend anybody again. There's a responsibility to other people. There's a responsibility to the other groups of believers. And we've had to do this in my own assembly. A lot of years ago, it was kind of like there was a question came up. Someone had been out on the field and they said, "Eh, we don't know about this missionary." You know what we do? We don't go running around making wild accusations. We don't send someone over to check out the missionary. We check with their commending assembly. And that commending assembly said, "Nope, we've checked it out. The work is good. He's doing a fine work." And so we continue to support them. But then later on, like a few years later, those elders in that assembly were on top of it. And they were checking back and forth. And they went back. And they came back and they said, "You know what? He's not doing as he should on the field." And so at that point, our assembly dropped the support for that missionary. Because that is what his commending assembly said. So that's why it's so important as you send someone out to think, this affects not only that individual and CMML, it affects everybody around because they want to know if this is a worthwhile work. And that's when I talk about assemblies, the responsibility of an assembly. There's a responsibility, first of all, to pray for the individual. In other words, if you have sent someone out, there should be prayer at prayer meeting every week for them. Secondly, there's this responsibility to other people. Are they doing a good work? Are you checking up on it? That is your responsibility. And thirdly is, then you get down to things like, well, how well are they supported? I've heard assemblies, again, come along and say, "Well, we're not going to commend anybody. We can't afford to send anybody out." I know of assemblies. I think there's one on the West Coast. What I would call a typical size assembly, there are about 20, 30 people in that assembly. And they have, like, if you go through the handbook, which is buried up here someplace, you go through this handbook and you say, "Oh, where's this person from?" "Oh, they're from that assembly." "Oh, that person's from that same assembly." "Oh, there's about 6 or 8 people sent from one assembly that is not a large assembly." So that means they're not providing all of their support, are they? In fact, let me give you an example, if I can pull it out here. Philippians chapter 4. And you probably know Philippians was written basically as a thank you letter to the Philippians because they had sent money. And they had sent money time and again. Let's go to chapter 4 and verse 15. It says, "You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs." So who was doing the support? Philippi. Where was he commended from? Antioch. Remember that? Chapter 13, we went out of Antioch, okay? Now, when he makes this statement, "No one has shared with me except you guys." What does that mean? His commending assembly hadn't sent him any money either, okay? So it isn't, oh, we can't commend anybody to the work because we can't afford it. You're commending them to God. And he is the one that's going to take care of him. And he may use you. I'm not saying that you sit there and say, "Okay, we need to put this in a savings account, not send it to a missionary." But he is one we need to spend what the Lord would have us to spend. We're going to send someone out. We should be thinking about how to support them. But it doesn't depend entirely upon your sending money. Maybe it's somebody else the Lord will have to do. As I mentioned, if you've got an assembly that's sending out 8 missionaries and you have 20 people there, you're not going to support everybody fully. The Lord's going to have to provide for them some other way. And there's a lot of generous people. I've run into more generous people out here scattered over the United States that take care of a lot of people. And that's very good. All right. One more point about sending out or what I would call responsibilities of the assembly. Acts chapter 14. And that is the idea that we need to let missionaries rest. Acts 14, verse 28. Probably can guess what this is, but let's read it. Acts 4, 28. This is after Paul and Barnabas have come back. And it says, let's go to 27. They arrived, they gathered the church together, they began to report all things that their God had done with them, how he'd opened a door of faith to the Gentiles, and they spent a long time with the disciples. And actually, there's another good point there. They came back and they gave a report. There should be a reporting back and forth of what's going on. But in this particular place, we want to think about the idea that they had a chance to rest. We call it furlough a lot of times. But we need to be thinking about what can we do to help them to rest. I have a friend that I met in college, been on the mission field for a lot of years. And when he was going out, he was with a Wycliffe organization. And, you know, you have to do certain things. But there was one church that came to them and said, "We want you to come be in our church, our assembly, in proportion to how we support you." Now, they supported them quite well, okay, like 40%, something like that. We said, "We want you to be here in our place, in proportion, in the time that you're back, in proportion to how we support you. You will not teach a Sunday school class. You will not do any speaking. You will rest." That, to me, is a tremendous example of how to help a missionary. Let them come on furlough and rest. Don't cause them to be chasing around the country, going to see everybody and tell them of the work. All right. Kind of talked about the assembly and their responsibilities. What about the individual? Number one, do not be independent. Often we think about, I think it was Taylor that went to China. I think he was the one. You know, he went to his assembly and said, "I think we ought to reach out. I think I ought to go to China." And the elder stood up and said, "If God wants to reach the Chinese, he will figure out how to do it, but you're not the one." And we kind of look at that and say, well, see how he stood up independently and went out. And to me, that is not the norm in Scripture. The norm in Scripture is to put yourself under, to be humble, put yourself under elders. And pray for those elders. If you have a problem, pray for the elders, pray with the elders about going out. And I realize there's some real problems, but I have a bigger problem with those who are just so independent that they're going to do what they want to do no matter what it is. Put yourself under the people. It may take some extra time, but the Lord will guide in all of that. He is the one that changes hearts. And so that is the thing we want to do. One of them is to pray with the elders. Another is to prepare your life. You know, there's a lot of ways, you want to touch it a little bit, of different ways of serving the Lord on the mission field. But in that process, we need to prepare our lives. The Lord directs often in what is into our life. But even as I mentioned before, once they get out of school, they really ought to work in a job, something where they have to get up and be at a job at a certain hour. They have to be consistent. They have to have a testimony before the unsaved of how they live their lives. And it is great to do that. Keith will tell you, but to me, he had tremendous elders because, you know, as he mentioned, they saw the ability that he had and that he would be able to teach. And he was overseas for a little while because part of his studies, he went over to Israel, I think as part of his history studies. I know he was in Spain for a little while, but he came back and the elders said, we want you to get a job. And he did. He got a job. His job was cleaning the cars at some rental place. Okay, you know, everybody brings their car back and it's got to be swept out. That's what he did. He did it for a couple years. And then the elders were wise enough to come to him and say, all right, that's been long enough. We think you should go into full-time work. Okay, that's some background on Keith. To me, that is the ideal of how it should happen. Elders should be on top of it, saying, you need to work. Now, you need to quit work and be on top and send them out. So prepare yourself. And then the other one is connect with CMML as an individual. Again, this book gives some good background of what the individual should be doing. Here is a nice pamphlet you're welcome to pick up about who CMML is if you're not familiar with them. And prepare yourself to go. All right. We want to talk about a little bit of what are some ways that people can be sent out. You know, the mindset for missions is often, okay, you need to become a doctor or a nurse and you are going to go to Africa. That's what we think. We think missions, we think Africa. Okay. What places can we go? Oh, yeah, let's turn some lights off. Clay, would you flip those? I think that'll do. Flip on the fans, though, because that gives us some light. How's that? All right. So where can we go? Before I flipped it on, I should ask the question. But I'll ask the question. Where can we go? How can people go out to serve the Lord on a foreign field? That's where I get to drag in. At least the pictures of places I've been, okay? This is not everything. You know, interaction here, folks. What is this? That's a school, okay? There are ways to do it. There is a school. You can go be in a school, a teacher. You can create a school. That's kind of what Tom Clark did. This is a short-term service right at this point. You know what my wife was doing at this point? She was sewing 28 curtains for that school, okay? That is a help, practical help for a missionary. This has a lot to do with schools. So there was another, this is the other side of the place there. This is another school. It was built. What did we do? Short-term again, came in and we put in doors and windows. We'd helped with electricity in a lot of that also. And here's the doors and windows being prepared. Incidentally, you start with a flat board and you start building frames from there. Okay, and here are people that are on the mission field. And we just tossed this in. This fellow had been in Colombia with us. This is the missionary. Now, there is a connection here because she's commended out of their assembly. This is a father-daughter. And so she is the missionary. She was a teacher, then she proceeded on to become an administrator in the school. And I haven't completely kept up on Hadessa, but I fully expect to see her on the mission field. You know why? Because she was on the mission field, and Laura took her all over. She showed her the kids that she taught in her home. She took her out on the soccer field in the middle of town. She got to see what it was like to really be a missionary. Where else can we go? Unless you know the place, you won't know what this is. What are other ways to serve the Lord on a mission field besides a school? You probably can't guess this one, so sorry I threw it up there, but you don't have to guess this one, okay? What is another way to serve on the field? That's the question I'd like answered.
College?
College?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. There's Bible schools, aren't there? Well, if I got a picture of that, I'll get back to that. Any others? It is not. It is an orphanage, is what it is. Okay? There was a place for two families. When we went there, there was a Canadian couple there taking care of kids and a Peruvian couple taking care of kids. Okay? Talking about orphans, there was a great work there. Tom was working with this. This is the outside of their office. We stepped into the office, and you can't quite see him. This is Tom Clark over here in Peru. And he had placed at that time 45 kids, more than any other organization, including the government, in Peru, helping change lives one at a time. So orphanages, go start an orphanage. There are a lot of places that have that need. There are kids out on the street. I know when my son was in Bahamas, the same problem. There were kids out on the street. And there were some orphanages. They have their own particular rules. Where else can we go? Camps. Okay, you can have camps. I'm glad you can think of that. He's been there. Okay, camps. There are camps. And for short term, we came in and helped repair. But, you know, it's that long term of playing and having the kids over and working with them. You can do that. Let's try another one. What is this? No, it's not a church. It's a house. All right? Sometimes you go and just be a discipler, okay? This fellow, this one here, and I think that's the one. We came in and helped him finish off the house. The bottom floor was built, but he wasn't using it because it wasn't plumbed, didn't have electricity, needed more room, things like that, various things in this. But we knew that he is a local. He's actually a part of the Aztec Indian descent, he and his wife. But he has a great work. He's a discipler. What do disciplers need? They need workers, but they need a place to work from, too. And that's why we came in, because if we increase the house, he can have the disciplers live with him, okay? He also does things like have people on the way to town stop in overnight while they wait for the bus to show up, things like that. Actually, this fellow here is the son-in-law of Cameron Townsend. And he keeps some of the material there because they're translating. So, you know, here's a place for that. But the idea is, you know, not everybody works with schools. Some of them are out. They're evangelists. They're disciplers. This was a discipler, and he needed more room to do that. What else can we run into? Well, we're done. Okay, now we got to think. What are some other ideas of things we can do that missionaries can do? You're just scratching your head, aren't you? Or no. What are some other things they can do? Oh, let's see. If I go like this. Oh, yeah, that one. Yep. Very good. Yep. Yep. Work with the locals. Yeah, very good. And that is true. I've known several that are that way. Where they try to reach out in what is already established and build up the assembly that is there. There are various places in the world where the teaching is thin and they need some more teaching. They need some more depth. Sometimes it has to do with the same problems we have. I know of one that goes around and does principally teaching on marriage and the family. A lot of times in these countries, They don't have good examples in their society or even amongst the Christians. And so they teach what the Word of God. So teaching. This one is evangelism. This is over in Serbia. What's the interesting thing? This is just a dining room table. Here's the window. The window is open. Between the window and the fence is a sidewalk. So people come walking down the street and you start talking out the window two or three foot away to the person in the street, talking about whatever they want to talk about, but you want to get it back. That's what they do there. He goes out and he reaches out. He does a lot of other things too. But it's the idea of evangelism. Now, are there any other things you can come up with? Things that we can do on to get out on the field. All right, some of this I can't think of a good way to put it other than just say incognito. Okay, we can get out in these countries because we are an engineer. Or we are an English teacher. Anybody heard of George Sturms? Boy, this is a quiet crowd. George Sturms, okay. George Sturms is teaching math, I believe, in North Korea. Now, you try to go to North Korea to preach the gospel, you can't get there. But you want to be a math teacher, you can get there. Okay, that happens in a lot of countries. I met a fellow down in Bolivia, and he will tell you the Lord has prepared him all of his life. He works with diseases. He now goes into foreign countries, a lot of times Muslim as their major religion, teaching about diseases, and he gets into conversation with everybody in the lab with him. He couldn't get there except that he is there because what he knows about diseases. Let me drag out one here. This is a friend of ours, a missionary. I will not reveal the name because this is being recorded. It's in a very delicate place. But he is talking in his letter that we got here just a while back. they are teaching English where they are at. It's actually a Spanish-speaking country of all things, which is unusual for their location they're in. But they need English teachers. Then they are trying to teach about four levels of English. They need more English teachers. And then over here on the back, he says, "How about you? We still have need of English teachers, auto mechanic instructor, a dental hygienist. What skills do you have?" And he missed it there someplace, but I know that they're doing a lot of work with agriculture. They're growing a special type of tree that is very healthy. In other words, you can get vitamin C out of the leaves and things like that. They are in a desert area, so, you know, just growing things is a problem. But they're telling them and teaching them how to do that, okay? It takes somebody with some skills. Engineers can go over. He does mention in here, he's made some connections with some colleges. They're sending engineering students over to help that teach them. They're sending business students over to that area. Tremendous work. Tremendous ways of getting in. Okay. Now, let's talk about supporting missionaries. Just the idea of how do we support missionary that goes out on the field. Say we've gone through this process, we sent someone out. How do we support them? What's the first thing we should be doing for them? Prayer. Very good. I'm glad that was a quick answer. All right. Another thing we need to do is communicate with them. And there should be communication back and forth, okay, of what's going on. What's going on in your life? How are things going? Typically, it is going to fall to the elders, but they need to be asking the questions. What is, you know, how are your finances doing? How's your family doing? How's your spiritual life doing? Those questions need to be asked. We don't just send them out there and say, have a good time, hope things go well. I'm aware of a missionary that had gone out. Assembly didn't really communicate with him. And he was telling us, man, there, you know, 10 years ago, went through a real hard time, real spiritual battles. It was a tough time. There were problems out on the mission field. There was nobody to help him, nobody to come alongside, provide counsel. And that's the job of an assembly. But then again, the missionary has to communicate these things. I think we mentioned yesterday some other things. As families, send presents to them. There are some certain things. And sometimes it's a matter of sending it with somebody. Find that somebody's going. But send presents to them. If you're sending gum, something like that, send it through the mail. Incidentally, don't send used tea bags. Those have arrived on the mission field. Don't do it, okay? But send them. Sometimes they can't get chocolate chips. When I go to some countries, I ask, can I bring chocolate chips? Oh, man, can you bring chocolate chips? Please do. We can't get them here, okay? Sometimes it's very simple stuff that you can do. And I know another one that I've carried various things in has to do with books. They, a lot of times, are homeschoolers. And as the kids grow, they need more books. So you go and you say, okay, yeah, I have plenty of room. I've got two suitcases in the airline I'm flying on. And let me fill half of my suitcase full of books and take them to you. Bring them down. There again, we're trying to go see these people. Sometimes we can help them out. Think up other practical ways to come alongside and to help them out. Read your letters with that in mind. Now let me pass out. Let me see. Let's pass this one out. And this is something that I often get asked, and I want to just kind of cover it fairly quickly, but just to put it in your hands. There may be more extensive things to put in this. But it has to do with the question, why do we want to send you or a whole team on a short-term trip? After all, it's going to cost a lot of money. And I know from team workers' aspect, we tend to say it's going to cost you $2,000 as an average to go to South America. Why do you want to spend $2,000 per person? Why don't we just get together and send them the money? That's the question that comes to me. Why are we doing this? Why don't we send the money? And so I came up with some of these reasons. To me, there's the missionary. You're going to impact the missionary and the people around the missionary. You show up at an assembly in a foreign country, and most of them know how this world operates. They know that you have spent money, that you love them enough to come. That's what it amounts to. And they realize that. And so there's some here about the things of the impact it has on the missionary and the people around him. Then there's the impact on the person going. When you come before the Lord and say, should I go on this trip? You have to learn how to walk with the Lord. And we don't have some big organization you go to and say, oh, can you give me some money? We have to go back and say, Lord, how am I going to get that money? Where does it come from? And so we have to go through that before the Lord. And it also helps us in the church. As this is kind of a combination, you go to explain, and then we get down here to the church, the sending church. The sending church gets involved with the people. Hopefully, you're going under the auspices of your elders. Everybody knows you're going. They are praying for you. That affects them when they pray for you. They find out what the world is like and how you should be handling these things. So, just something that I have found needs answers. Another one I want to pass out here. It's getting a little age to it. It's actually two pages here, so we're going to split it up two ways. Let me pull off one, and you take that. So there's two pages. Make sure that everybody gets two pages. This is a survey sent out, and I think it was about a 2008. Assembly Care Ministry sent out a survey of missionaries and said, what are some practical ways to help a missionary? And I like to pass this out from the standpoint that we have to think about how we can help a missionary. In other words, number one, keep in contact. And we talked about that. In this day and age, it is so easy to keep in contact. But don't let that ease just kind of lull us into never doing it. It's very easy to accomplish that. I've done it in my life. I can say, yeah, I need to do that. How about tomorrow? And tomorrow just never quite gets here. Number two is know the cost of living. You know, it is important, and you have to understand, every once in a while, the Lord provides for these missionaries. And He doesn't always provide for them in a poor way, okay? You have to be very careful of your evaluation. Thank you, guys. Be very careful of your evaluation. I have been into missionary houses, and I thought, wow, the Lord really gave them a nice house. They use it for the Lord. He provided. It's not what they asked for. It wasn't they were doing something special to make it. They didn't waste your money. They may have been given to them. Sometimes people will do that. I know one missionary, he says, well, yeah, I've been renting in this place, and the owner sold the house, but he said I can live there until something else happens. He's living there rent-free. It's been 2 or 3 years now. Rent-free in a nice house. I've been in his house, okay? So that happens. Don't forget the children. Keep in tune with what God is doing through them. You know, sometimes things change on the field. I know of one that is kind of like, well, he was doing a lot of ministry, and actually it was the one we showed you with the teaching. Tom decided this year that it was time to shut down the school. You know, the Lord was leading in that direction, and the assembly that's behind them needs to be aware, you know, and praying with them. It's just a thing for God to have you to do. And we don't want to think that we as men can make something up and it's going to run on perpetually. God has His ways, and we need to be aware of that. And so the assembly needs to be aware of that and be behind the missionary as they work. As mentioned, when they come home to rest, medical issues. And I didn't mention that, but in part of preparation is getting all of the shots. Our brother over here is telling me his son is going to Uganda. You know, you got to get shots if you're going to Africa. Number one, I know, is yellow fever. We always talk of hepatitis. We talk of tetanus. And there's probably a nice long list for Uganda that I'm not aware of. But, you know, you have to prepare for those things. And malaria is just typical in countries. Outreach and ministry tools that are needed. They may need some of these things taken to them. Older missionaries, what do you do when they get old? What do we do with them? Do we continue to support them? They've spent their life, likely have no savings anywhere to turn back to when they, quote, retire. And then give to them intelligently, prayerfully. And then some general advice in the back. So those are some ideas, things for you to take home and read through. Now, we need to be finished here. I had mentioned CMML, a great organization. They take no money out, not like some organizations. They take no money out. Everything you give to them goes through. They support missionaries. And with that is, hiding under my Bible, is MOPS. I encourage you to send any prospective missionary to MOPS if they are thinking about it. That doesn't mean they're necessarily going on the field. I've had a daughter go to MOPS. We sent her and, at that time, her fiancé. two mops. And she came back, and she's not in the mission field yet. Although, you ought to see the people that she works with, okay? She's on the mission field. It's just still in the United States. So, mops. And if you have any questions, talk to Joel. Joel is a teacher at MOPS. So if you have any questions about MOPS, go talk to him. I did mention Team Workers Abroad. That's what I'm associated with. It's given me a real heart for missions going out on the field. And I encourage you, we have two-week trips. We encourage you to go on that. A new one that is out is Axis One International. They do the work with missionaries and full-time workers with the technology. In other words, if a missionary, and it's very easy to do, you think you have problems with a computer, just put yourself out in the middle of nowhere and say, now I have problems. What do I do about this? And they can work with them. Sometimes they need hardware. They just need a new computer. Okay, they will help. To me, the software is the thing that you need help with. It's kind of like, what do I do? Well, they can get onto that computer and say, oh, we checked this box, and this box, and now it'll do what you want. But they can't figure that out. It's just like some of them can't figure out how to drive a nail, okay? I can drive a nail. This guy can run computers, okay? So be aware that that is there. Encourage others to know about it because it started in January, so nobody knows about it yet, particularly. And they're still working on their 501c3. All right, I think we've covered about everything in these two sessions. I talked too long, so I didn't have time for questions. Feel free to ask me questions. Come up and take any of this stuff up here. If you want something back home, take it back home. One I didn't mention, CMML sent, was one that describes CMML a little bit more on a video format. You're welcome to take it. I have three copies here. Anything that needs to be covered? That's true. I had not thought of that. That is a very good suggestion to help them to join with the elders so that they might experience that and know how to handle it. Because I know of one that said, everybody looks up to him. And he says, they're all sitting around. He says, I went to a business meeting, it was an elders meeting. He says, okay, man, we need to make a decision about this subject. And they all sat there and waited for him to say something. He sat there too. He says, gentlemen, 10 minutes have passed, and you haven't decided anything yet. You haven't said anything, okay? He was going to wait them out, and he did. Most missionaries don't have enough gumption to do that. But that's important, knowing to pass it on so that they have control, not you. Very good point. All right, let's close with prayer. Father, we do thank you that you are reaching out into the world. Father, that you use many of us in this work. Father, how amazing it is that you would choose to use us in the work that you're doing. And Father, we would just ask that you might continue to help us to know how to help others to go out and take your word with them. For we would ask in Jesus' name, amen.